Sentiment for gold was 81, and sentiment for silver, the highest price since 2011, is 74.
Wow.
And neither of those is a top. And actually, they're an indication that it's got a little further to run. And I've been saying for the last 2 weeks, my opinion, and that's all it is, an opinion, my opinion is silver's about to run.
Hey, Bob, what's going on? How are you?
You know, it's really cool. You just gave me a pitch for my website.
Bob Moriarty, 321 Gold, how are you?
Really? No, no, just say it again.
Bob Moriarty.
Now, the way you started, we're going to go in
3, 2, 1. I was in this right.
Yeah, very good. You got it absolutely correct. Okay, we can end the interview.
Yeah, so everybody knows it's going to be listening now. That's how I start every interview is 3, 2, 1, we're going. That's very clever. So black swans everywhere, but let's start with a good subject here. Well, I don't know if it's good. Let's talk about the rise of...
I can answer the question, and you haven't even asked the question. Now, would you like to know the answer?
Yeah, give me the answer first.
You do not want to live in a world of $5,000 gold.
Yes, that's a good answer. No, that's a terrible answer. That's a terrible answer. So we're going, but gold is, it corrects very briefly and momentarily, and then we just keep on marching. It's like a death march almost.
Don't use that word.
Yeah. It's like a march up to heaven.
Very good.
What are your thoughts on the strength of this? Yeah. What are your thoughts on the strength of this? What do you
I write in my books and say, you don't have to know anything about investing to make money, because the interest rates, the value of the U.S. dollar, currencies, don't make any difference. What does make a difference and what moves every market is sentiment. And I have for years made some fairly good calls just using sentiment. So before we started, I looked up for the sentiment for gold and silver episode yesterday.
Let me interrupt you to everybody listening. Yes, you have. Absolutely. And I will remember several instances going back to 2004 where you literally published on your site, it's getting too frothy here, and I paraphrase, I'm solo selling my gold stocks. You said that. So go ahead.
Yeah, but truly, and I highly encourage people to read my books. I've made the electronic versions very cheap, but sentiment moves markets. Now, I have been busy this week, and I keep track of the sentiment daily, and I haven't been able to do it because I was busy. So when we started chatting here 5 minutes ago, I looked up sentiment because we've had the nice move above 2,700. We've got silver up to 33 bucks, and I wanted to see how high the sentiment was. Now, did you answer? I think I asked you, what do you think it should be?
Sentiment? I think it should be really, really optimistic right now. That's crazy.
Well, no, it's not crazy. I mean, here's the problem. There are too many flim-flam artists out there who say dollar up, gold down, stock market up, gold down, stock market down, gold up. And it's bullshit. Okay.
Right.
It's sentiment that moves markets. Now, if you go back to April 25th, of 2011, I called the top at Silver to the day.
Yes, he did.
The sentiment was higher than it was on January 21st of 1980. Well, the top of 1980 was $50 an ounce. And of course, $50 was what's closer to being real money back then. So you go forward 30 years, you got a higher DSI, and it was top. And of course, it dropped. Okay.
There was no time about that real quick. You did. I want everybody to know that. I remember reading that and you nailed it. So, and I remember it too. You got a lot of hate.
I'm a contrarian. I want people to hate me. If they hate me, it means I'm correct. It's a guy who had written me about a month before, and he said, look, I've written this article about how great silver is, and I've had 600,000 views, and everybody thinks I'm the smartest guy in the industry, and you haven't published it yet. And I said, well, actually, I think we're due a correction fairly soon. Now, if you would give me an article about how dangerous it is to invest in silver at tops, I would print it in an absolute heartbeat. But the guy called me 700 different variations of stupid. And of course, I never heard from it after April 25th. But it's actually dead easy to do. When the sentiment gets above 90, you need to be looking for a top. And when it gets above 95, you're at a top. The sentiment for gold yesterday, after a near record high, was 81. The sentiment for silver that is nibbling at the highest price since 2011 now I've forgotten. I'm having a senior moment. Now, there's actually, we should talk about that for a minute.
Please.
Do you realize what an advantage you have when you get old and you lose your memory? You get to hide your own Easter eggs. Okay, sentiment for gold was 81. And sentiment for silver, the highest price since 2011, is 74.
Wow.
And neither of those is a top. And actually, they're an indication that it's got a little further to run. And I've been saying for the last 2 weeks, my opinion, and that's all it is, an opinion. My opinion is silver's about to run.
Music to my ears. I think that's music to my ears because I'm an investor. But as you've mentioned, it's also scary because that means a lot of things are going to us. Hence, the world maybe.
Actually, not. Going back to my thesis, who cares? Who cares about interest rates? Who cares about the value of the dollar? Who cares about the S&P? That doesn't tell you anything. There are two kinds of information that investors use, and they don't realize it is very important to segregate the two. There is signal, and there is noise. And everything that's not signal is noise. Now, DSI is signal. The value of the dollar, whether we're going to war tomorrow, if it's not the price of oil, that's an indicator, okay? But we're not going up because of the tensions. And we're closer to World War III than we've ever been. The U.S. wants it. Ukraine wants it. Israel wants it. And I fear greatly they're going to get it. But sentiment says, all by itself, gold and silver going higher.
That's a great point, what you just said. You can separate that. It doesn't matter. It's really sentiment. That's what matters. So excellent.
Let me, and I want to talk about the BRICS because they have a very important meeting. Then I want to talk about conflict and the escalation in the Middle East. But before we do that, I did this with a few other guests and I'm doing it because people want to hear it. That's really it. Do you have a few silver stocks or gold stocks that you absolutely love that you'd care to mention for viewers?
God, I hate to do that. I haven't bought all the shares I want to buy. Why don't you come back in a couple of days and answer me the same question?
What's the look of nothing?
Fair enough. First of all, I will go on record. If you take gold, silver, platinum, palladium, and rhodium, and you want to invest in precious metals because you see a need for an insurance policy, and I see, it's just my opinion, the highest value of the metals is as an insurance policy against financial and geopolitical chaos.
Yes.
Of the five, silver, I think, is the cheapest. And platinum, it's the second cheapest. Now, if you go back 10 years ago, rhodium, that was $10,000 an ounce in 2008, got down to about $600 or $700, like that. And I was banging the table to everybody that wanted to listen. And actually, frankly, the only person that listened to me was Fax. The Facts hasn't got any money, so he's not rich yet. But rhodium went from, and this will give you an idea of the potential of silver, rhodium went from $600 or $700 an ounce to $28,000, and it's near $5,000 now. But since 1722, when platinum was discovered, platinum has always had a premium to gold, and it lost the premium about 5 years ago. So we've got $1,000 platinum and we've got 2,700 plus gold. So silver is the cheapest of the five and platinum is the second cheapest of the five. And frankly, anyone who doesn't have an insurance policy against financial chaos right now, you're missing the boat.
Good luck, Jeff.
Yeah, you're going to be out at the airport when your ship comes in.
Couldn't agree more.
But as to other investment opportunities, in relative terms, gold shares are literally the cheapest they've been since 1966. And in one of my articles and a couple of the interviews, there was a real good chart indicating gold shares should be the best investment for the next 5 to 10 years. And that's across the board. There are so many shares that you can buy under 10 cents. Now, come on, guys. You know, if you can get 5,000 shares for $250, how much are you going to lose? Okay.
Ain't that all right?
Of course, you're going to lose it on every other investment. Now, there's a lot of excellent stocks at very cheap price. Now then, my favorite, two favorites right now, and I'm cutting my own throat to say this, are Sitka Gold that has drill results coming out next week from a 680-meter intercept at a valley-style project in Yukon. And I think that people that I've talked to indicate they see the potential for 10 to 40 million ounces of gold. Like,
that's huge.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's huge.
Well, Snowline, which is up there, has exactly the same kind of deposit.
Well,
it has a 7 million ounce resource. They've done that in 2 years. So, It's not only possible, frankly, I think it's probable because it's an identical deposit to Snowline, except Snowline, the glacier scraped the top off of Snowline and didn't scrape the top off of Sitka. So they're going to come out with results next week. They announced that call, I think, on the 11th of September, 680 meters of mineralization, 40 examples of visible gold. And quite bluntly, that's a deal. The shares have doubled in the last month, but I think they're still cheap. Now then, and that's where I'm cutting my throat, and I'm actually doing an interview of a company in an hour. Quentin Henney got in touch with me and he said, you need to take a look at Altamira Gold in Brazil with a, I think it had a 20 million market cap, and it looks like a million ounces already defined, which would give them $15 an ounce U.S. per ounce gold. And it's the same kind of deposit at Snowline, same kind of deposit at Sitka. And, if you can get this, Snowline, I think, has an $800 million market cap. So if you can get into exactly the same kind of deposit with a $26 million market cap. Do you speak Spanish? There's Spanish.
No.
Like,
see, no.
put it in your translator or something. Spanish term for it is called El Gudo Dilo.
I don't speak Spanish, but
I learned some more Spanish?
Yeah, sure.
Un cerveza.
Un cerveza.
You don't know what a cerveza is?
No.
That's disgusting. And how were you raised? Didn't your parents teach you anything?
And it's Catholics. I'm joking.
Un cerveza means one beer.
One beer?
Yeah, of course, you gotta have some Spanish. You gotta
drink. Oh, man, I'm completely there.
There you go.
You're speaking my love language. Okay, so Sitka Gold and Altamira, for our listeners out there, you can mention more, but I think that's enough for this. Help me fake and do their own research.
True, strange enough that I will say this. There are hundreds of stocks that are going to go up 5 to 10-fold. And there are some real piece of crap stocks. And there's a stock, and I will not mention the name of this, but if you go back to 2008, when everything cratered, there was a Tanzanian gold stock that did a placement at 5 cents. They hit one good hole. They raised $2 million. The stock went $5, and then the company went bankrupt.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Yeah, I'm not surprised. Well,
the message is, if you buy a stock at 5 cents and it goes to $5, you really owe it to yourself to take some money off the table.
Yeah. It reminds me of Briex. Remember Briex? Yeah. Right. Okay. Well, Bob, thank you for that. That is, thank you. And all of our listeners and viewers should thank you. That's number one. Number two is, let's talk about BRICS here, because this plays into gold. This plays into everything, no matter where you're at on the geopolitical spectrum. We got an important meeting coming up in, I want to say it's next weekend. Correct me if I'm wrong.
It starts 22nd.
The 22nd, so it starts on Tuesday.
Yeah.
I knew that. I was living on my calendar.
You were just trying me. You wanted to see if I knew.
Yeah, I'm starting to trick you. Talk to me about BRICS here. How come you, what do you think is going to happen? What research have you done? What are you hearing?
It might here's the deal. The fact that so many nations want to join BRICS,
right,
is extremely significant. Yeah. My talk for the last couple of years there is a global war going on of the debt-based system of the West in conflict with the resource-based system of the East and the South. Every country that has had the world's reserve currency gets it for about 80 years. Mm-hmm. And the U.S. has had it for exactly 80 years, going back to Bretton Woods at 1944. There are several things that are really interesting to me that I think that people should look into. If you listen to Putin, or if you listen to the other leaders like Hungary or India or South Africa, the other BRICS nations, these are rational people talking about real problems. And if you compare that to anything that Kamala Harris says or anything that Donald Trump says, were you aware? I didn't know this before. Were you aware that Donald Trump was an opera singer?
Me.
Yeah, exactly.
But to win it last time, yeah.
Now you're stealing my lines. I mean, that's not, I don't want to steal your lines.
The reason I'm not lying to you.
You haven't got any lines.
Yeah.
But if you listen to both sides and these called leaders, you got Justin Trudeau saying that we've got to stop out misinformation. And of course, misinformation is everything that disagrees with the government narrative. And I'm thinking, why did the biggest liars in the West come out and talk about misinformation? Hillary Clinton, who led the Russian conspiracy hoax, and the 51 intelligence professionals who signed the document saying it had all the aspects of a Russian disinformation campaign. Hillary Clinton's face belongs on every milk carton in the United States. She was the biggest liar. She destroyed tens of thousands of emails, private emails. They were under subpoena, and nobody did anything. And then John Kerry had one of the greatest lines that I've ever heard. John Kerry came out a few years ago and said, it's the wrong thing for countries to invade other countries that have done nothing to them. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. Were you talking about Iraq? Were you talking about Afghanistan? Were you talking about Libya? No, that's right. You were talking about everybody but the United States.
Yeah.
Yeah, the United States invade, it's for a good cause.
Yeah. So let's go back to all these countries want to get into BRICS. And that's what, I guess, where do we go from this?
That's exactly the way to put it. Now, if you have a dysfunctional, failing economy, financial system, the beauty is all you have to do is change anything, okay?
Right.
You don't need to do anything right, you just have to change what is wrong. And maybe by accident, you'll get something correct. And I'll be candid, I've watched a lot of stuff coming out of BRICS. And frankly, I think those guys have a clue. Some of the stuff I don't totally disagree with. I'm not a fan of central bank digital currencies, and I'm certainly not a fan of cryptocurrencies, which cryptocurrencies is actually pronounced cryptocurrencies. Very few people know this. The French Revolution started 1789. The first currency that they used was the assignat, and they printed them like crazy, and it blew up their economy because they had so much inflation. So by 1795, they went to the Mandat, M-A-N-D-A-T, and of course it did the same thing. And then a French colonel named Napoleon took them, shot a bunch of people, and believe it or not, all of the wars that France fought going up to the Battle of Waterloo, they financed internally, because the very first thing that he did was to go back to gold and silver. And I'll be candid, the BRICS are making a mistake if they don't go back to gold and silver. Now, I think there will be a currency that it won't be backed necessarily by gold, but it'll probably be converted.
Yeah. So that's really part of the big story, I think, in the rise of gold and the rise of silver recently. When I say
Spaniards. Look who's buying it.
All the central banks, the BRICS.
No. The Russians, the Chinese.
The Russians. Yeah.
They know what's coming. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to be a good, profitable investor, watch what Buffett does and then duplicate him. Now, what is Warren Buffett investing in right now?
I don't know, but I know he's the best.
Yeah, you do. You just don't realize you do. Well, let me question in a different way. What is he not investing in?
He's not investing in crypto.
What is he selling?
I'm embarrassed. I don't know.
He's selling Bank of America and Apple with both hands.
I did know that. I did know that. I take that back.
I
saw that recently, him selling Bank of America and Apple.
And Apple to the tune of hundreds of millions and billions and billions and billions of dollars. He's sitting on the biggest cash hoard he's sat on. And interestingly enough, we go back to gold. Do you know what his father believed about gold?
Is it a barbaric relic or did he like it?
No, absolutely. His father was a big supporter of gold. Now, his father, I think he was a representative, but he was either a representative or a senator from Nebraska. And I find it absolutely bizarre that one of the greatest investors in history is kind of
Yeah, that is weird. That's really weird. And that always confused me. About Buffett, I knew that he was sitting on a pile of cash, and I read this was, I don't know, 3 months ago in an interview, he's sitting on said more cash than he has ever had.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was interesting. So.
Well, he sees it coming. I mean, by every metric. The stock market is higher than it's ever been. And I look at that as a very dangerous thing because it's an indication of inflation. There is so much money floating around, and the smart money is moving into gold and silver. And I think, and again, it's just my opinion, with a DXY of 74 and a price of silver today at 33, we could see $50. In short order, we could see higher than that. Because you got to remember, go back to 1980, and the very top was on January 21st. Gold hit a high of $875, and silver hit $50.25, and then it plummeted. But we've gone from $800 gold 44 years ago to $2,700 gold, and the price of silver is about 60% of what it was 44 years ago. So silver could run, and I believe, I'm always looking for surprises. When rhodium went from $700 to $28,000, even I was surprised, and I was one of the very few people even talking about it.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to happen really, really quick. You know, interesting. It's just so interesting. We lived in some crazy times, which I wanted to bring up and discuss with you conflict here. I was
I was active on Twitter. Oh, over the weekend. And I'm pretty active on Twitter, just as, or X now, as a lurker. And also talking to some people offline that I respect and admire. And they really confirmed what you said, our last discussion. And you brought up China. They were confirming there's conflict coming really soon in the Middle East. And
here's where it gets interesting. I've got a lot of people who get in contact with me, and I'm not going to say I've got all these great intelligence sources, because it's not true. But a lot of people pass information on to me, and it absolutely looks to me like the U.S. military is fixing to do something. Now, let's analyze the war in Ukraine.
Yeah.
On December 21st of 2021, Putin went to NATO and the U.S. and he said, look, we want a guaranteed security. We want you to enforce the Minsk II agreement, and we want guaranteed security of our borders, because you guys said you were going to do it. You said you weren't going to move NATO to the east, and now it's 15 countries to go, and you said that you were going to stop shelling people in the Donbass region, and he was totally ignored. So the real key wasn't when he invaded Ukraine. The real key was 2 months before, when he said, hey guys, we don't need to do this. We want secure borders. And if you go back to November of 1962, we had a world leader who said, we want secure borders. You got any idea who that was?
JFK.
JFK. So we want secure borders. And what everybody, what nobody was taught, and very few people know, to end the conflict between the USSR and the U.S., the USSR agreed to remove the missiles from Cuba, and nobody talks about the fact that the U.S. agreed to remove missiles from Turkey. Okay, so rather than that being a totally rah-rah American victory, it wasn't that at all. It was a reasonable compromise. And Ukraine actually lost the war in the first month. And sat down and came to terms in Istanbul in a peace conference that nobody knew was taking place. And Boris Johnson managed to queer the deal. And interestingly,
that's
enough,
right.
I never mentioned this on any other interview. The guy who was in charge of the peace negotiations went back to Ukraine, and he was assassinated by the Ukrainian Nazis for having negotiated this peace agreement. But Ukraine actually recognized that they lost the war in March of 2022. And I think an accurate number of dead Ukrainians since then is about 1 million people. I mean, this was the dumbest war probably in recorded history. The U.S. stands to gain nothing from it. Germany stands to gain nothing. Germany actually blew their economy up because Scholz was in Washington and agreed to allow the United States to blow up the Nord Stream pipeline. That was a $30 billion act of terrorism. It was the biggest financial terrorism in world history. And the Danes have just come out literally in the last week or two and said, oh, by the way, the USS Kearsarge was overhead a few days before the pipeline blew. Now, the Danes and the Swedes, of course, knew exactly who blew it up. And I published a piece. I think the pipeline blew up on September 26th, and I think October 5th or 6th or 10th. I wrote a piece and said, hey, this clearly was an American attack, and the USS Kearsarge How much do you know about military ships?
Not as much as you. Not very much.
Okay. The USS Kearsarge has an internal swimming pool, as it were, so they can literally drop amphibious vehicles out. So if you wanted to go over the pipeline and put divers down, Kearsarge is a perfect vehicle for doing it. But that clearly was an attack. If anybody who doesn't believe it, it's calling Joe Biden a liar, because Joe Biden said he was going to eliminate the pipeline and call it Victoria Nuland a liar. Of course, calling Victoria Nuland a liar is like saying there's no Santa Claus. She lies about everything all the time, but she said, we're going to put a stop to the pipeline. That's the only time she ever told the truth in history.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, I agreed exactly with everything that you said. And what a dumb war. And I heard now that they're discussing bringing, drafting 16-year-old Ukrainians to fight.
They're not fighting. When I was in Vietnam, we were fighting people who were in uniforms and trained and were military. Luckily, I was right on the DMZ, so we didn't have the Viet Cong around us. Okay, if you go down to Da Nang in the south, there were a lot of Viet Cong, and these guys were farmers during the day in VC at night. But in the DMZ and Northern I Corps, we were fighting uniformed soldiers. We didn't go out and kill women and children because that doesn't accomplish anything in a war. At the end of a war, in theory, you've got to get along with the person that you were in conflict with. Mm-hmm. So you only attack legitimate military targets. And this idea of drafting women and drafting 16-year-old kids and just putting them into a meat grinder, those people are being slaughtered. Now, I'll give you, I think these are accurate numbers. I think a million Iranians. You just started. A million Ukrainians have died, and I think about 70,000 Russians. He only lost 58,000 Americans in Vietnam, and that was out of 3.5 million people who served. So while the Ukrainian numbers are horrific, the Russian numbers are pretty serious, too. They've got a much smaller population. And it's not like World War II when 27 million Russians died. But 70,000 in a smaller population is a lot of people for war, search, no purpose.
Yeah. No, it breaks my heart. You're going to have to go soon. So I want to bring this up. I want to talk about this, and that's the Middle East. We've talked about it a lot. Since we've started talking, and I'm just really concerned here because I'm hearing that Israel is going to go after Iran oil fields here. And I want to know what your thoughts are, what you think here, and if we're continuing to be at the precipice over in the Middle East.
Jim Rogers has participated in numerous war games. And in 100% of the war games, they ended up nuclear. Let me start off by saying something that I wanted to say. If you go to any interview that I've ever done, the very first day or two, the replies are very positive, but there is organized paid group paid by the Israeli government to go out and attack everyone who criticizes Israel. And I just did an interview a couple of days ago, and a guy was talking about genocide. Two words, G-E-N-O, and then S-I-D-E. And I thought, wait a minute, what kind of word is that? And he would say, you know, it isn't a genocide. Well, the ICC, the top criminal court in the world, calls it a genocide. It clearly is a genocide. It is mass murder. You can go see dozens of videos of the IDF shooting in cold blood women, children, people carrying white flags, kids playing on the beach, kids playing soccer. It is the most evil thing I have ever seen in war. And there are wars like going into Iraq, okay? The United States kills hundreds of thousands of people. And the difference is not necessarily the number of people killed. The difference is what is the government trying to accomplish? And frankly, the United States has killed millions of people since 9/11. And they're not doing it through evil. They're just doing it through sheer stupidity. This idea that we've got so much power. But Joe Biden is saying, well, look, Israel, here's the deal. You've been withholding rations to northern Gaza. But Blinken actually went to Congress. And of course, Blinken's Jewish, okay? So he's defending Israel withholding rations. Israel is literally trying to create mass genocide and a couple of hundred thousand people in Gaza, and this is both Christians and Muslims, have died of starvation or died from the bombing. For the United States to ship 15,000, 2,000-pound bombs to Israel and then whine about Israel not allowing aid trucks through, it was really funny. This is cynical beyond belief. Biden came out and said, and this is the last day or two, and I think Blinken was the guy who actually announced it, Israel has 30 days to start shipping aid to northern Gaza. Now, what is the fatal flaw to that?
Gaza is going to be no more because
nobody's going to be alive after 30 days.
Who have you
seen?
Exactly.
But this is evil. Okay, yeah. It is genocide, and anyone who supports it needs to go down to Walmart, and they need to order a new moral compass, because theirs is clearly broken. And the strange thing is, if you come out and say this, now, I didn't invent the word genocide, okay? The UN came out and said it's clearly genocide, and the UN has said that what they're doing in northern Gaza is genocide. And the UN actually came out a month ago and said everything Israel is doing in the West Bank is a war crime. Okay. And Israel has 30 days to withdraw the illegal settlers, 750,000 of them. So Israel and the United States have been violating international law literally for 80 years and getting away with it. Now, here's the problem. Here's where it comes from. If a guy walks up to you on the street and he said, do you know that my fingernails are worth 1,000 of your lives? Well, what do you think?
He doesn't have a high opinion of me.
You know, you're dealing with someone who is clearly deranged. Okay. I don't give a shit if he said God told him that.
Right.
But these, if you watch the videos literally coming out of Israel, these are deranged people. Zionism is not a religion. It's not most closely associated with Judaism, which everybody would like you to believe. There are two forms of Zionism associated with religions. Which are they?
The Jewish religion, I would assume, and then...
That's one.
That's one. The other one is that they are still God's chosen people and entitled to that land.
Yeah, yeah. What about the Christian Zionists?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Now, the Christian Zionism actually started in 1830. Okay. Mm-hmm. Which Zionism started around 1890. But
you're absolutely correct. I think that is a Christian man. Yes, you're absolutely right.
Which group has more people in it?
The Christians.
And far more Christian Zionists. Now, the Zionists in Israel want you to confuse Zionism with Judaism, and they're Zionism, you're against Judaism. That's false. If there Zionists were associated with a religion, it would be Christian Zionists. And if you actually look at the belief system of the Christian Zionists compared to the Jewish Zionists, one or both of them is clearly insane. Because the Christian Zionists think, well, they're going to rebuild the temple, Messiah's coming back, and everybody that's not a Christian Zionist is going to go straight to hell, and we're going to get raptured. And the Jewish Zionists said, well, we're going to rebuild the temple, and the Messiah's coming back, and everybody else who's not a Jewish Zionist would be our slaves. So Christian Zionists are supporting the people who believe the Christian Zionists should be slaves, which is kind of irrational if you think about it.
Yeah. You know, I will support everything that you just said. And I say that as a Christian man, and I said this offline to my friends, other Christians, and as well as I said it online to Larry Johnson the other day. This is really bad theology and exegesis, and they're using it, and I say they, you know, maybe that's the wrong word, it's to dismiss the atrocities.
Exactly.
That's exactly what it is.
And there's some real evil stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
I joined the Marine Corps a week after I turned 18. I spent 6 years in the Marine Corps, went through flight training, went to Vietnam, came back. And of course, my parents had always said, you want to get a good paying job, you've got to go to college. So I had a very unusual career. I didn't go to college and then become an officer. I became an officer and then got out, and then I went to college. And I went to the University of Texas for 2 semesters. And I said, this is really boring. So I applied for Southern Methodist and got into Southern Methodist. And they had a comparative religion course that was mandatory. Mm-hmm. If you were going to get a degree, you had to take comparative religion. I thought that was a really great idea. And religions often share common values.
Sure.
There are 10 commandments in the Jewish religion. There are 10 commandments in the Christian. There's 10 commandments in the Catholic religion. And the basis for the 10 commandments are in just about every religion. And of course, one of the most important is thou shalt not kill. The Jewish Zionists, and I want to differentiate, there's a lot of good Jewish people who are against what's going on in Israel and very vocal about it, and I support them. But the Jewish Zionists are a cult, okay? They're not only a cult, they're an insane cult that is going to be self-destructive. So let's go back. I wrote a piece a couple of weeks ago after there was a underground explosion in Iran, and I said that there was a good chance that that was testimony. It has kind of died down since then. But my thesis was Israel is not going to be stupid enough to attack Iran because Iran is suitably armed with similar weapons to what Israel has. Iran has 74 times the land area that Israel has, and it has 10 times the population. The only possible way that Israel could defeat Iran would be to use nuclear weapons. But could they damage the oil fields? Absolutely. Could Iran close the Gulf of Hormuz and shut down 40% of the world's oil shipments? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Iran has said, look, countries surrounding Iran, if you allow Israel to use your airspace, we will consider you valid targets. So Saudi Arabia, UAE, and several of the other countries around Iran have come out and said, we're absolutely not going to allow our land or our airspace to be used for conflict against Iran. And I will tell you, it's a guy who had 800 some missions of combat. If Israel is stupid enough to attack Iran, and I don't give a shit what weapons they use, they're going to lose, and it's going to destroy Israel. So if the Jewish Zionists are truly insane, all they have to do is start a conflict there, and they are going to lose, and it will be the end of the Jewish experiment in Israel.
Yep, I would 100% agree.
Bob, I would love to go on with you. You got to run. You got an interview in 5 minutes. I want to just thank you immensely for letting me spend time with you, for talking with me. I immensely enjoy our conversations. So, and I'll just end it at that. Thank you so much. I'll reach out again. And you're always so gracious whenever I need you.
Well, I hate it when you steal all my lines.
I'll play dumb from now on. But you always make time.
No. See, you just stole that line too. Play dumb is my role. It's not your role. You're supposed to be the intelligent guy.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Bob. We'll talk again, I'm sure, really soon within the next week with you.
We'll do that. And it's always fun. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.